Colgate tooth powder for a breath that's sweet.
And Hello shampoo to glorify your hair.
Bring you the Warner Brothers star, Errol Flynn, with the Academy Award nominee, Joe Loring, in your theater of romance from Hollywood. Tonight, Colgate tooth powder and Halo shampoo bring you, in one of his rare radio appearances, the sensational star of Warner Brothers San Antonio, Errol Flynn. With him will be Joan Loring, soon to be seen in Three Strangers. Mr. Flynn appears in our theater of romance in the exciting story of one of the world's greatest boxers, James J. Corbett. And so to you, from Colgate Tooth Powder and Halo Shampoo, comes our play, Gentleman Jim, and our star, Errol Flynn. This is the story of Gentleman Jim Corbett, who wasn't always a gentleman.
Who says he wasn't?
I do.
And who are you?
I'm Errol Flynn, and I'm on the air, and will you please go away?
I'm a stagehand here, and I got a paid-up union card, and I don't care whether you go on the air or not.
Oh.
Besides, Colgate tooth powder and Halo shampoo are paying for this, and I like their product. Oh. And besides, I grew up with Gentleman Jim Corbett. And besides, I know all about him.
Maybe so, Pop, but I'm telling this story.
Then tell it right, Dad Flynn.
Well, Jim was born...
He was born in San Francisco.
I know it. Shut up and give me a chance.
His dad was a hack driver.
I know it.
Knew him well. Yes, sir.
Look, Pop.
Are you getting paid for telling the story?
Well, I will if you'll let me tell it.
Well, of course, son. Go right ahead.
All right. This is the story of Gentleman Jim Corbett.
Irish he was.
I know it. Gentleman Jim Corbett. That's what they called him. At first, I guess, they were just laughing at another wild Irish kid from south of the slot who was trying to be somebody in the better side of old San Francisco. Yet, way back in the 90s, they called him Gentleman Jim. Even though his pa ran a livery stable and Jim worked in a bank at $10 a week. The trouble is, Jim really wanted to be a gentleman. So, he fought for it. Being a Corbett, he fought pretty well.
We'll be ready in a minute. And you boys remember, we've got the gentleman of the cloth as our guest.
You better take it easy.
Father Bert, I've told the whole family there'll be no brawling at Tarbet Stables tonight.
Then it'll be the first night I've been here without a good fight, Mrs. Cole. Growing boys need their exercise.
Oh, that's what worries me. They eat more than the horses now.
Well, I was telling about the brawl at the pier during lunch hour today. The best knockdown drag-out fight since the long tournament ball.
Jim spent his lunch hour at the Olympic Club.
Where?
I'm glad we have one gentleman in the family.
The Olympic Club? What's a Corbett doing in a club like that?
As a matter of fact, Harry, I happen to be lunching with Miss Victoria Ware.
Miss Victoria Ware?
The very beautiful daughter of Mr. Henry Ware himself.
Oh, now ain't that the hotsy-totsy itself. First he's a bank clerk and now he's a knob-hill dude. Hey, how about that, Pop? How about
Jim telling the gospel truth? I told him there myself and I waited outside for 2 hours till he come out again.
Two hours?
Right. No. When Miss Ware came to the bank to get some money for her father, I went along to see that nothing happened to her. Once I got inside the club, I just kept moving right in until I finally got what I wanted.
So there's no telling what that is. You've got more nerve than a Union Pacific.
Oh, Harry.
Oh, that's not nerve. That's just confidence. I gave a little boxing exhibition, and the first thing I knew, I was a full-fledged athletic member of the Olympic Club.
The Olympic?
Sponsored by Mr. Ware and the beautiful Vicky, his daughter.
Well, a knob, he'll do it for sure. This elegance is too much for me.
You know, I think I'll muss him up a little.
Hey, Harry. That's my snappiest side. Get your hands off it.
Come on. Oh, dear, his snappiest side. Well, let's hear it.
Out. Now, all right, Harry. That's enough. Stand up, and I'll give you a lesson in manners.
We've got company of the cloth.
Don't mind me, I'm Irish too.
But dinner is ready.
Hand me those bandages, Mrs. Carbert. Every time I eat here, I have to work it out in trade.
Now listen, you scallywag. There'll be no fighting here.
What?
Get on downstairs. What do you think we built a boxing ring in the stable for?
Well, Mr. Corbett, taking your workout in the lounge instead of the gymnasium?
Well, hello, kiddo.
You may call me Miss Ware.
Okay, kiddo. Oh, I get all the exercise I need around here. I'm in pretty good shape.
That's nice.
Yeah, I think I better stay that way, too, from what I hear. It seems the other members wouldn't like to see me get my ears knocked down.
Oh, what makes you say that they would, Mr. Corbett?
Well, the rumor around the club is that they offered Jack Burke, the former English champion, $1,000 for an exhibition bout with me.
Well, what's wrong with that? You agreed to the fight?
I know, but I've been told that Burke was definitely instructed to give me a good beating.
I see. And do you think the club members would enjoy it?
It was their idea, wasn't it, Gorgeous?
I really wouldn't know, Mr. Corbett. But it sounds like a good idea.
Okay, beautiful. But it's not going to work because I can lick that Burke without even mussing my hair.
Maybe you can. He is getting to be an old man.
Now, well, I could have licked him anyway when he was champ. And if I can lick a former champ, I can be a champ myself someday and soon.
My, Mr. Corbett, what a beautiful swelled head you're getting.
No, I'm not. A swell head is a guy who thinks he's good and isn't. Get the difference?
Sometimes you're impossible. Or should I say, once in a great while, you're not impossible.
Well, sometimes you're pretty sweet yourself, you know.
Miss Ware, you please. And I hope, Mr. Corbett, that Jack Burke does an excellent job of knocking down your ears.
Thank you, beautiful. You just keep right on pulling for me to lose, will you? Well, Corbett took care of Burke without much trouble. Jim's footwork and style were too much for him. But the young fellow still took a beating from the club members. They wouldn't let his friends and family come to the fight after the fight without formal clothes. For the first time, he lost that Irish temper and blew up. He resigned and went on a wild bat, which ended in Salt Lake City. One morning, he woke up, flat broke, with a horrible hangover, and found he was matched to fight a professional bruiser named Moose Peters for $10. His first professional fight. He won by a knockout and got two lines in the San Francisco paper. When Gentleman Jim got home to the Bay City again, the world champion, the great John L. Sullivan, was starring in that heart-throbbing drama, Honest Hearts and Willing Hands. Corbett went to the theater to get a look at the champ and ran into Vicki Ware and Carlton DeWitt. Vicki. Hey, Vicki Ware.
Well, Mr. Corbett, it's been some time. Do you know my fiancé, Mr. DeWitt?
Oh, hello, Corbett. Oh, you don't. Hello.
We haven't seen you since the night of your fight with Burke.
No, I, But tell me, you haven't been to this awful play, have you?
Yes,
I'm afraid so.
I
think you decided she wanted a better look at the blighters than we are with the rest of the crowd.
I think he's wonderful. What a physique. And what a champion.
Well, champ or not, I wish he'd hurry. Well, if you really want to see the chump, here's your chance.
Yes, yes, let's go. Come on.
I stand as gentleman. And I can't lick any man
alone. Oh, he's so excited. Look, they're feeling his arm.
I'm John S. Sullivan, and I can lick any man in the world.
Oh,
some hand.
Some muscle.
What?
I'm coming right through. Step up and feel the muscles as I go past.
I'm going to do it.
Vicki, come back.
Are you crazy?
Vicki, have you lost your mind?
Step up and feel the arm. I ain't got all right. I'm John S. Sullivan.
Good boy, John. My life is now complete. I felt the arm that shook the world.
Well, Miss Ware, that was a very pretty picture. You pawing over that Sullivan.
Carlton, what is he talking about?
Yes, Corbett, what are you driving
at? Oh, grabbing that big lug arm like that. Why, that's hero worship stuff.
Really?
A girl loses something when she loses her dignity.
John L. Sullivan is not a lug.
Oh?
And to whom do you think you are speaking?
Look, I say, Corbett.
And you, DeWitt, you ought to be ashamed of yourself for allowing it. She's your girl, isn't she?
How dare you?
Well, if you were my girl, you know what I'd do? I'd stick you right across my knee and spank you.
Your girl?
Yes.
Being your girl, Mr. Corbett, is the thing farthest from my imagination.
Oh, come on. Let's stop fighting over
you
nothing.
You shut up. You ought to knock his block off.
Tell him to wait until I knock Joyensky's block off. Then he'll have something to crow about.
You're not going to fight Joyensky.
You must be joking, Corbett.
Why? I'm going to fight him right here in San Francisco.
But you're nowhere near ready to fight that man. Why, he'll murder you.
Is that so?
Yes, I hope it is. Mr. Corbett, please do fight for him. That's just what you need.
Jack, did Mr. Harris give you that new position at the office?
He did not. He gave the job to Stanley Freeman.
Oh, Jack, why didn't you get it?
Oh, I guess Mr. Harris doesn't like the way I part my hair.
That's not so.
It's a little breath of trouble. I mean, unpleasing breath that has stymied Jack's success. Let's hope he takes up the Colgate Tooth Powder routine immediately. You see, anyone can be the victim of unpleasing breath. There are thousands of men and women who don't make a go of things, and they seldom suspect the real reason. Don't let this breath of trouble mark you down socially, make you unpopular. Do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate Tooth Powder. For Colgate Tooth Powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests prove that Colgate Tooth Powder, in 7 cases out of 10, instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. And when it comes to cleansing, money can't buy a dentifrice that will clean your teeth better or quicker than Colgate Tooth Powder. Remember the name, Colgate Tooth Powder, with the accent on powder. Now, Colgate Tooth Powder and Halo Shampoo bring you the second act of Gentleman Jim, starring Errol Flynn as James J. Corbett.
You're on, Mr. Flynn. Oh. Tell them all about the train.
Don't worry, Bob.
Don't forget about that left hoof.
All right, let go of me. I'm on.
Corbett won.
I know it.
A knockout.
I know it.
With the beautiful Vicky Ware hoping that he'd take a good beating, Corbett fought Stanley on a barge in San Francisco Bay. Prize fights were not legal in California, but it seemed as though everyone in town had heard about it and come to the fight. Vicky was there with the wit, and Jim could hear her yelling to Stravinsky to kill him, but he didn't. The boxing world first heard of that famous left hook when Corbett flattened Stravinsky with it in the 27th round. The police raided the fight just after the knockout. Gentleman Jim was on his way up.
Corbett knocked out Jake Joanne in 6 rounds. Al Daly in 3 rounds, a knockout. Mike McGinnis in 4 rounds, a knockout. Charlie Mitchell in 8 rounds, a knockout. Peter Jackson, the greatest of all Negro fighters.
61 rounds, Corbett fought the man the press called the Black Panther. And the best he could get was a draw. But after that fight, he knew he was ready for anything. First, however, he had some unfinished business in San Francisco. Digging down into that bankroll, he moved the whole Corbett family out of the old neighborhood.
Look up there.
Glory be. The Corbett. Moving to Knob Hill.
Sure, it's wonderful to see what one fighting Irishman can do. Jim Ladd, your old priest, is proud of you.
Oh, thanks, Father, but the job isn't finished yet. I'll tell you something. I'm leaving to New York tomorrow to see if I can get a fight with Sullivan for the championship.
Oh, no, no, Jim, he's too big.
No.
And too good. Oh, wait a while.
Sullivan. Well, Jimmy, he's mighty tough. But we bar no.
What do you think, Father?
I don't know, Jim. It'll be the toughest fight you've ever had.
And that's the way I want it. Mommy, darling, when your Jim comes home again, he'll be champion of the world.
Glory. A new home for me, a new saloon for Pat, money in the bank, and a lad who's going to be the champion of the world. Oh, Father Burke, ain't it wonderful for the poor people? For the right hand of God, reach us down to help.
Yes, Mother Corbett, but this time he had the help of a very good left.
Off went Jim to New York to try to get a crack at Charlie. He did everything to attract attention. He was seen in all the best places, dressed up in a top hat and evening clothes to fit that title of Gentleman Jim. He was deliberately showing off, spending his prize money, being a playboy, trying to get enough publicity so Sullivan couldn't pass him by. One night he went to the theater where the champion appeared. He took a box right by the stage and escorted the lovely Lillian Russell, the toast of New York. In that spot, in that company, he knew he'd meet the great John Hill. And he did.
Hello there, Mr. Sullivan.
Well, it's been a long time meeting you.
You don't say. We'll have a drink, Mr. Corbett, and son.
Sorry, John, but I'm on the way.
On the wagon itself. Well.
You know, I've seen you a couple of times. At a distance.
Yeah, but seeing me from a distance is a smart idea, young fellow. What's all this nonsense about wanting to make me the ring?
Oh, nonsense, is it? Peter Jackson thought it was nonsense, too.
How long did you stay with Jackson? 16 rounds?
Now, come on, just you turn those figures around, Sullivan. 61.
You know how long Jackson would stay with me? 61 seconds.
Oh, is that why you've been ducking Jackson, Mr. Sullivan? Too easy, eh?
Ducking him, did you say?
Yes.
I'd meet any man who'd stand in his teeth, and if you were 30 pounds heavier, you'd be next.
I'll return the compliment. If you were 5 years younger, it'd be more fun fighting you.
What do you mean by that?
Well, there's not much fun in winning the championship from a man who's stripping over his beard.
But beard, is it? Who said I've got a beard? You first rat, who do you think you're talking
about? Donald Sullivan himself.
Yes, Sullivan is right. But I can lick any man in the world.
Except one, James J. Corbett.
I'll murder you.
Will you?
I'll fight here, John. Make the public pay for it.
I'll fight him anywhere. Get this punk out of here and get the news boy. I'll fight this Corbett bum anywhere, anytime.
Mr. Corbett?
I'm glad to see you.
Sit down, Jim. I was in New York and thought I'd ask you to lunch.
You're looking well, Mr. Corbett.
That's a surprise, Vicki. Makes me feel wonderful seeing you again.
Thank you. But this is Father's idea. He seems to be impressed by famous actors.
Oh, what a girl.
What a girl, indeed.
Well, just you keep on hating me, kiddo. It brings me luck.
Here. Let's talk about the fight, Jim.
Of course. You two gentlemen go right ahead.
We'll have to. I'll muzzle you, Vicki.
Father, please.
I hear it's going to be in New Orleans for a purse of $25,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, it isn't quite set yet. That Sullivan demands a side bet of $10,000. Winner take all.
I know that'll be.
Well, do you think you can win? But I don't have $10,000.
And, of course, no one in their right mind would put up that much money on Gentleman Jim to John L. Sullivan.
Thanks. Well, just for once, you might be right. No one thinks much of my chances, except myself.
Everyone's wrong with Mr. Corbett.
Mm-hmm.
He knows he can win.
Look, Mr. Ware, you better get her out of New York and take her back to that nice Carlton DeWitt.
Can't do that. She had a fight with him, too.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Vicki, you mean you're not engaged anymore?
That's quite true, Mr. Corbett, but I don't see how it can possibly mean anything to you.
Oh, don't worry about that. It doesn't make...
Well, I never saw anyone like you two.
We'll get along all right, Father, after John L. Sullivan makes a tramp out of Gentleman Jim.
We'll see about that. After I dig up enough money to meet those fight conditions, you see.
That reminds me, Jim.
You might look up a man named Colonel McLean.
Think you'll let him have the money?
Sure, he hates the chance.
Huh?
It all goes back to the time the colonel's wife felt John L. Sullivan's biceps in Savannah.
Oh. Sullivan's biceps, in the colonel's memory, were worth $10,000 to Gentleman Jim. The colonel's angry recollection took care of the side bet, and Corbett went to New Orleans for the fight that made boxing history. The crowd was all for Sullivan. Corbett, naturally, was all for Gentleman Jim. He fought a smart fight. First, he stayed away, and the crowd booed him. He missed a sidestep in the second round and said he felt like a tramp. He broke Sullivan's nose in the third round and felt like a gentleman. Gentleman Jim. It took 20 rounds for the good little man to wear down the good big man. And then in the 21st, that famous left hook. Flurry of lefts and rights, and one big one with everything he has. Those who were there said that Gentleman Jim hailed a cab and drove off alone. He was the idol of the world now. Everyone wanted to shake his hand and entertain him. He drove away into the night on some errand of his own that was more important than all the cheers of the crowd or all the parties in New Orleans. Being champion, well, isn't the way I thought it would be at all. Suddenly everybody wanted to be my pal, and I didn't expect that. Then I remember there was one person in this town that didn't want to hug me to death. That's why I asked you to take a ride with me, Vicki.
I won't hug you to death, Mr. Champion.
Oh, I know that. Here I am, champion of the world. Everybody's nuts about me, except you.
There are 20 parties waiting for you tonight. Take your pick.
I'm not going to any of them. I don't want to be poured again as long as I live, and I'm sick of dressing up, playing the part of a gentleman.
Really, Jim?
Really. That's the...
funny way for the champion to be talking.
No, I don't think so. You see, I've known you for a long time, Jim, and I know how you've wandered all this. Maybe the way I've acted helped you to get here, gave you a little drive. I'm glad if I had helped, but I can't help you now. You have arrived now.
I don't want any help. I just want someone to talk to.
That's strange coming from you. You've looked forward to this hour for so long that it disappoints you, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You thought you'd be another person, and you find you're not.
I guess so.
But you'll come bouncing back with that swelled head of yours. You'll be telling the world that you're the greatest champion it ever had.
Oh, will I? Now, wait a minute. Vicky, you've cured that of mine. I think I'll need you now more than ever. Vicky. Hey, Vicky.
Jim Corbett, is that the way for a gentleman to behave?
Darling, I'm no gentleman.
Well, in that case, if you're no gentleman, then I'm no lady.
And that's the story of Gentleman Jim.
Went and fell in love, didn't he?
Yes, Pop.
Love, that is.
I heard that.
That's no joke, Pop.
I know it. You have just heard the Paul Pierce adaptation of Gentleman Jim, brought to you on your theater of romance by Colgate Tooth Powder and Halo Shampoo. Our star, Errol Flynn, will return in just a moment.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Hello, it's the shampoo that glorifies your hair. So hello, everybody. Hello.
Use Halo shampoo if you want naturally bright and beautiful hair. The soap shampoos leave a film on your hair. But Halo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling soap film. The very first time you use Halo, you'll notice your hair glistens in all its natural brilliance. The deep, full, natural color and luster come sparkling through like sunshine through a clean window pane. And remember, even in the hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather. Halo quickly carries away loose dandruff, grease, and dirt. Needs no lemon or vinegar rinse, because Halo leaves no dulling soap film. Nothing to hide your hair's natural beauty. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Use Halo on your children's hair, too. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter. Remember, Halo glorifies your hair.
So hello, everybody. Halo. Halo shampoo. Halo.
Colgate Tooth Powder and Halo Shampoo say thanks to Warner Brothers, producers of the new mystery thriller, Three Strangers, for their triple gift. Thanks for the great story, Gentleman Jim, for the star, Errol Flynn, and for Joan Lawrence, who was a nomination for the Academy Award in her first picture. Speaking for the Theater of Romance, Colgate Tooth Powder and Halo Shampoo, I want to say it was great to have you here, Mr. Flynn.
Oh, thank you very much, Frank. It's great to be here. I certainly enjoyed this presentation of the Colgate Tooth Powder Halo Shampoo Theater of Romance, and I'd like to express my appreciation to Miss Joan Lawrence and the cast. Next week should provide a lot of interest to your regular listeners. Death Takes a Holiday. That's a grand show. And in the starring role, you've certainly got a grand guy. Roll out the rug for Alan Ladd. All right, good listening.
The Colgate Tooth Powder and Halo Shampoo Bulletin for the Future. Next week, Charles Bandit's production, The Theater of Romance, brings you our adaptation of the exciting picture and play, Death Takes a Holiday, starring the exciting Paramount star, Alan Ladd. Alan Ladd's appearance will be followed by the startling mystery romance, Uninvited, with one of Hollywood's greatest stars, Ray Milland. Keep a date with Theater of Romance for all the weeks to come. You'll always hear your favorite stars. These presentations of Theater of Romance come to you because of your enthusiastic recognition of Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath of sweet
and Halo shampoo to glorify your hair.
This is your host, Frank Graham, saying goodnight and wishing you love, happiness, and romance. Ladies, there is still a colossal shortage in industrial fats, and one result is a shortage of soap in your stores. Remember, too, fat is needed in the manufacture of nylons, textiles, electrical appliances, baby carriages, and scores of other peacetime products. That's why Secretary of Agriculture Anderson asks you to keep on salvaging all the used cooking fat you can, where it's needed in the manufacture of soap and other industrial uses. Remember, ladies, where there's fat, there's soap. Keep on saving it. Your butcher still pays 4 cents a pound for used cooking fat. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.